Hello and welcome to another episode of A Big Mouthful. My name is Simon Pearson, I'm gay and my pronouns are he, him. For those of you who don't know, professionally, my day job is working as a mental health practitioner, and it's because of that I decided to produce this podcast to look at some of the issues that affect us as queer folk. Having said that, you don't have to be LGBTQI+ to listen in, as some of the topics and discussions here with my guests will inform and be relevant to absolutely everybody. Please feel free to drop me an email just to say hi or to give any feedback, critical or otherwise. I'll let you know at the end of the episode how to get in touch through email, Twitter and Instagram. Wow, two podcasts edited and uploaded in the same week. Lucky you. No big shout outs on this episode, but I can guess who's going to be the first one to download it, and that'll be you. Yes, you, in Ile de la Cliché in France. Hi. Bonjour. Don't forget to like this episode if you've enjoyed it. And also, please subscribe and set that reminder button so that you get an automatic reminder of when the next episode drops. So without any further hesitation, let's get on with what I hope you will find to be a cracking episode. So for this podcast episode, I'm going to be talking about an organisation, a charitable organisation called Just Like Us. They're an LGBT plus young people's charity, and they were founded about 5 years ago because, for the simple reason, growing up LGBT plus is still unacceptably tough. They've recently done commissioned an independent research that shows that LGBT plus young people in the northeast are the loneliest in England, and I thought I need to talk to these guys, get them onto the podcast and find out a little bit more about them. To help me do that, I've got their chief executive with us on this episode. He's worked in the charity sector for most of his adult life, and he joined Just Like Us from the mental health charity Mind, working on the mental health campaign Time to Change as head of the programme management, and prior to that, as head of projects and programmes at Stonewall. And he's led their education team, supporting the largest LGBT plus education programme in Europe, and their international programme teams, whose work focused on Eastern Europe and the Western Balkans and Turkey. And he's also the chair of LGBT plus mental health charity Mind Out. It's an absolute privilege to speak to Dominic Arnold. Dominic, hello and welcome to this episode.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Wow, what a lot of work you guys do.
We try. For a small team, I think we do pretty well.
So I'd never heard of you until I stumbled across, I think it was a tweet that I saw, and I think Amy, your head of comms, got in touch with me. And then we had a talk, and then we're talking, which is great.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Just Like Us for starters. How did it start up and the work that you're doing?
So Just Like Us, we're relatively new as an LGBT plus organisation. We started back in 2016 when our founder, who's now our chair, went into his old school to talk about being an LGBT plus person. Uh-huh. And it was quite transformative both for him and the school, because you know, LGBT inclusion is one of those topics. Some schools are fantastic and other schools really have never mentioned LGBT people at all. So he had this amazing experience, and him being a student there was interesting to them, and he decided to set up this charity that at the time sent people into school to talk about their identities. Well, the charity's kind of come on quite a long way since those early days, and now we've spoken to over 50,000 young people in schools.
Wow.
And we run School Diversity Week, which is in schools representing 2.8 million young people every year. So we've come a long way, but the mission is, I suppose, is still the same, and it's really about making life for LGBT people more tolerable in school, because we believe all LGBT people deserve to lead awesome lives.
That's amazing. And that is a huge piece of work to do. And I think I'm trying to remember a million years ago when I was in school, and when I was at school, we didn't have even those discussions that the word gay wasn't even talked about or mentioned.
No.
And it was really, really difficult. And I remember how awful it felt when I started having these strange feelings going on, but not having anybody to talk to. So, and I know that Stonewall have done work with trying to get role models in school and to have those discussions as well. When you do the work in schools, it's like assemblies or what happens? How does that work?
So we send basically young people into classrooms rather than assemblies. And the reason for that is we want our sessions to be really interactive.
Okay.
So the kids are able to ask questions, they see a presentation. They're a lot sort of closer to the person. I think assemblies are also great. I mean, I really do support all LGBT work in schools,
sure,
just because anything is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And I think when I deal with LGBT adults, much like you just said to me, what I hear so often is, I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
And if all we can do is break that, if all we can do is let LGBT plus young people know they're not alone and actually there are other people like them, in fact, there's a community here that's sort of supportive of them.
Yeah.
I think if that was all we did, that would be worth doing.
When you're doing the presentation in the classroom with people, what's the presentation? And have you got people that are close to the age of the pupils or the students? Or
exactly that. So we've got our wonderful volunteer ambassadors who are all between 18 and 25.
Okay.
We want them to be identifiable,
yep,
and sort of relatable to the people in the room.
Yep.
So as much as I'd love to go in and tell my story, unfortunately, I'm a little older than that. and we want it to be someone that the young person can really engage with.
Yeah.
So we send in 18 to 25-year-olds who basically tell the story of their life. And it's a story we work on them with. And essentially, what we believe is that in order to create a change in school, people don't tend to relate very well to being told what to do in general.
Sure, sure.
What people do is they see people and they think, that was interesting. And that's how we're so used to learning in that way, from hearing from other people. So we want to bring the voices of LGBT plus people into schools. Like you were saying, I personally learned about Oscar Wilde at school. I never learned he was gay at any point, which is quite amazing, because it's very difficult to tell the story of Oscar Wilde without mentioning that he's gay. But they managed it. So I think a lot of the time, I think our sector is a bit misrepresented. People think, well, you're trying to push LGBT stuff into everything. And actually what we're doing is we're trying to stop taking it out. we're trying to have that presence there where that presence has been removed.
That kind of answers the question that I was waiting to come in with you, because what's the reception like? Do people feel, because I had a conversation recently where people said, are you always ramming it down our throats? Well, actually, that's not the case.
I mean, so 40% of the schools in the UK don't do any LGBT inclusion work whatsoever.
Right.
So that's 40% of the secondary schools. So it's definitely not as prevalent as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah.
But generally the sessions go down really, really well. Students are really keen to hear from other young people about their identities and about their experiences. I think often for people my age, you think, oh goodness, going back to school, that sounds terrifying. But thankfully, a lot of the schools we work in are just doing phenomenal work. And I think actually when you're talking about these things head on in a kind of adult manner,
yeah,
that's the best way to do it. And the young people relate really well. In fact, sometimes we have teachers that say, oh, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure how it will go down. But you deliver the session and actually the young people really enjoy it.
Brilliant. Have you had any comeback from parents or teachers or resistance?
I get a letter every now and again.
Yeah.
but I would say, you know, the vast majority of teachers are actually working incredibly hard and are looking for help in this area. So we're saying, look, I know this is an issue that's affecting my students. If you're not LGBT yourself, you might not be a subject expert.
Yeah.
So saying, you know, what's out there? How can I get help? And that's really what I see our job as doing, is supporting those teachers and making sure that they've got the resources off the shelf, something really easy and ready to go in order to make their life easier on this subject. And as far as parents goes, again, I get the occasional letter, but for the most part, I think parents are really keen that schools prepare young people for life in modern Britain, and see this work as a part of that.
When we were talking earlier, we were talking about loneliness and things and that experience of people, and now that segues nicely into the independent research that you've commissioned, which shows that LGBT plus young people in the Northeast are the loneliest in England. How did that research come about, and what have you done with that information?
So we were really worried about the impact of coronavirus and lockdown on LGBT plus young people, which sounds like a bit of a weird thing to say, because obviously everybody's had a really difficult year. But we knew from our experience that LGBT plus young people on the whole are more likely to rely on networks that sit outside of their family unit. So more likely to talk to their friends, more likely to speak to a teacher, and all that sort of thing. And there's a huge body of LGBT plus people that we work with that might not be out to their family, but are out to their friends at school and are out to teachers at school even. So we were worried that this group are now put back in their house, forcibly closeted. And some, you know, if you live in a rural location and you're quite far away from your friends, you could be separate from the people that matter most to you for up to a year by now.
Yeah.
So we were really worried about what the impact was going to be on LGBT plus people generally. And sadly, we were right that it seems like far more LGBT plus people than non-LGBT plus people have said that their mental health has got worse throughout lockdown.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, particularly in the Northeast, and we saw this, we saw particularly LGBT plus people said that they felt very lonely indeed.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm quite aware of that. I mean, I think I did a podcast a while ago about being in isolation with COVID and how, for everything you've just said about being forced back into the closet, being isolated from peers, not being able to have access to other people like yourself, etc., and possibly facing that prejudice or violence in the house where you felt once was safe has just been really, really there, and which has been awful for a lot of young people as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got thoughts in my head as to why from living up here, but what is your research has shown as to why the Northeast in particular experienced that?
So I think the trouble is with research sometimes is it gives you the what, but it doesn't always give you the why.
Okay.
So we can't say the why definitively. What we can say is that some of our sample group from the Northeast talked about living in really rural locations and talked about having a life that sometimes revolved around traveling into the cities.
Yes.
To have a night out, if you like.
Yeah.
And that was sort of, you know, you can imagine it, can't you? The highlight of your week is you travel in.
Yep.
and then you meet other people.
Yep.
So if you're just simply told you can't do that, and as I say, you're kept at home with your parents, who in some cases in the sample, parents who were not aware of or rejected that young person's identity, that's going to be an incredibly lonely place, because you're effectively isolated from all those people that know you for who you are.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm saying I've got some ideas about that, when I know the geographical areas up here, and say like Newcastle's the hub, Newcastle is the hub. And when you get out of that area, there's this practically nothing. And you can sometimes be having to travel quite large distances to get in and out of Newcastle.
Yes.
And if you're out in one of the smaller villages, then there's nothing. You could literally be the only gay in the village, for example, for that situation.
Well, that's pretty much what our research showed. So that definitely chimes with our experience.
Yeah. So what's your charity trying to do or suggesting to do to actually help alleviate a lot of that for these young people?
So in terms of parents, it's very difficult, because parents, you know, in the UK, you're talking about 40 million people. It's very difficult for us to affect change in that area. But what we are doing is speaking to schools and really saying to schools that they have a role to play here in supporting LGBT plus young people, because schools are the other agency that's still in touch with young people and has been in the most part throughout the pandemic. And of course, now we've got young people back in school. So what we would like schools to do is send really strong signals about inclusivity and supportive of LGBT people throughout this period, and we're trying to give them everything they need in order to do it, and it's absolutely free. So if they head over to our website at www.justlikeus.org, they can find everything they need to celebrate School Diversity Week at the end of June. And it's really a fun event. It's a celebratory event. We give lessons in every subject and every key stage, and we have a number of online masterclasses as well, just to really show LGBT people that they're not alone and that there's a huge community of people out here ready to welcome them.
Excellent. And do you envisage coming up here to do any of those sessions at some point in the future, hopefully?
Well, as soon as at the moment, we're not going into schools.
No, obviously, because of lockdown, etc. Yeah.
But after that, absolutely. And you can book those sessions on our website. In fact, you can already book those sessions because we do those sessions at distance over Zoom as well.
Yeah.
So if there are any schools out there that want to, please get in touch with us.
Excellent. I suppose from my perspective, focusing on the mental health side of things, we've already just briefly discussed how that can impact on individuals. From the research, has it shown any higher rates or incidence of people expressing mental health problems or not wanting to be here, or what's that
so
shown?
In this particular piece of research, we haven't looked at, for example, suicidal thoughts.
Okay.
Because we wanted to talk really about the impact of loneliness, specifically isolation, well-being, or more that sort of end. What I do know is that in the school report, they found that LGB people were about four times as likely to attempt suicide as non-LGBT people, and trans people were about eight times as likely. So it is a problem in our community. I am the chair of LGBT mental health organization Mind Out, and Mind Out has seen an increase in calls during this time, and more worryingly perhaps a decrease in calls from other members, from people that were already using the service, that are sort of dropping off during this time, and an increase in new calls. So it's quite an interesting time, and what I'm hoping is that now there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, people will hang on and seek help where it's needed. And I'd say for any of your listeners that are LGBT and need a bit of support, Mind Out offers a range of text services online, as well as counselling through Zoom and other services, and that's either cheap or free.
And for anybody listening, then those links will, as always, be in the show notes on the podcast website, where you'll be able to access them and any other information that's relevant to the conversation that we've had here. And obviously, sorry, I've got to say this right now, that if you feel triggered by any of those thoughts, please talk to somebody. Don't feel that you have to, you know, think of these things on your own. Reach out and talk to somebody. Use some of those services to actually talk to somebody, which is really, really important. Do you do anything in regards to celebrating being LGBT?
Absolutely, yes. And School Diversity Week is really a celebratory event. I mean, I think so often in the LGBT community and at LGBT events, we're always talking about the really negative stuff, the suicide and self-harm and that sort of thing. And I'd be really worried if I gave a talk ever, if someone came away thinking, oh, it looks really awful being LGBT, because I don't believe that. I think actually it's pretty fantastic being LGBT.
Absolutely.
Plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's important that we send those messages as well, and we make sure that everybody knows that actually, you know, there are fantastic communities, LGBT plus communities all over the UK and all over the world, where you can find that home and be grateful for it.
Brilliant. Dominic, thank you so very much for your time for this episode. And I hope Just Like Us just goes from strength to strength and really gets that message out there and works with a lot of young people to help them feel that it's okay to be them.
Great. Thank you ever so much for having me.
Thanks again, Dominic, for a great chat. And I hope you found that really informative and interesting and feel encouraged to get something doing in your local schools that you're linked in with. As always, please email in with any suggestions or comments or feedback on the episode, and let me know if you have any ideas for future episodes. and also if you'd like to be a guest. Details of how to get in touch via Twitter, Instagram and email are in the show notes on the Buzzsprout hosting site, and that can be found at buzzsprout.com. And I say that because I know some of you are listening in through Apple or Google podcast sites, and they don't always show the show notes. But if you go through to the buzzsprout.com website and search for me and get me from there, then you'll see all the show notes. Because along with my contact details, you will find relevant links of organisations that are available to offer support or advice on the topics that we have discussed. Make sure you like, subscribe, and set the reminder of when the next episode drops so you never miss an episode. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. Please look after yourselves and stay safe out there. Bye for now.